Acts chapter 20. We'll begin the reading at verse 17. This is God's inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. And when they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Well, friends, last time we were together, we considered some of the characteristics, the qualities, the qualifications of the office of deacon. Tonight, we're going to transition to consider more particularly the office of elder in Christ's church. Now, we read of that office in both the Old and New Testaments, the office of elder, particularly in the New Testament, as the two offices of the church, the ordinary offices of the church, that of deacon and that of elder. But in the New Testament, we also sometimes read the word bishop. If you remember back sometime probably in the early summer, we saw how bishop and elder in the New Testament are used interchangeably. They both refer to the same office. Referring to the office as elder or the eldership is a way of highlighting the dignity of the office. But when the word bishop is used, it speaks more to the actual work of the office. And we considered that at some length. Because the word bishop, translated as bishop, literally means overseer. It's the same word that we get the word episcopal from, which is a church that has bishops, a hierarchy, beyond Scripture, if it's above the office of elder. But that's the word. And boys and girls, if you listen to that word, it's not a word that you probably hear very much. Episcopal. In the middle, you have that word scope, right? A telescope or a microscope is something you look through. So that's the Greek word for to look at or to see. And so this is the word for overseer. The elder is an overseer, a bishop, because it is his work to be overseeing things in Christ's church. Now, Acts chapter 28, as Paul is speaking to the elders from Ephesus, he refers to their work as being overseers. Look again at verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and over all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that's the word bishop. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. So the work of under-shepherd, the work of elder, is the work of overseeing. But for our purposes tonight, we want to look very carefully and very specifically at the very first thing that Paul says to these overseers. Acts 20:28. Pay careful attention to yourselves. To yourselves. And then to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The first realm of oversight for an elder is himself. What is an elder to be overseeing? Well, here, before the overseeing that's to be done of others, he's to oversee himself. He's to watch carefully about himself. Because only someone who has, by God's grace and Spirit, some maturity in overseeing himself should be an overseer of others. In the Song of Songs in chapter 1, just by way of an illustration, though I don't think the eldership of the church was in view here, it says, they made me keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. And you read that and you say, well, that's not good. You shouldn't be watching out for someone else's interests if you're not careful about your own. There's something wrong there. And so tonight, this message, before we get into the work of overseers in the church, their work and their qualifications, here is this primary characteristic of an elder, that he is someone who watches himself. He oversees himself. Now, this is a message for elders or for potential elders. It's a continuing call to elders. But really, it's a message for us all as well. We see that when we remember that in the Bible, God says that elders are to be examples to the flock. That's one of the simplest descriptions of an elder, to be an example to the flock. And here is a way to be an example, that an elder watches himself. He oversees himself. And so when we remember the example of elders to all of us, watching yourself is important for us all. Because as Christians, spiritual self-shepherding is a mark of maturity. In Colossians, Paul speaks to slaves and he says, obey your masters, but not just when their eyes are on you. Right? And boys and girls, you know that. I mean, do you do something just because someone is standing over your shoulder watching you do it? Do you only clean your room when mom or dad are standing in the doorway of the room, watching and waiting until you're done? Paul says to slaves, it shouldn't be that way, that you just serve with eye service when their eyes are on you, but you do it for the Lord and before the Lord, whether people are watching or not. And there's a similar principle in the spiritual life. Now, God gives overseers for blessing in the church because we need it. Elders in the church in Presbyterianism have overseers as well in the presbytery. And so there's a check and balance there. But spiritual self-shepherding is a mark of maturity as we all live under the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. doing what we should be doing, not doing what we shouldn't be doing, not just because someone else is watching us, but because we're living before the Lord. Other people can be a blessing, but the Lord is our shepherd, and we're called to live and work before Him. This is a helpful message for us all as well, because here Paul says to the elders, watch yourselves, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock. This self-watch is intimately connected with our ministry to others. Elders, you're going to be ministering to others, but keep watch over yourself first. Overseeing others, oversee yourself. But we all have ministry to others. We're all involved in relationships. We're all called to be a blessing to those around us. And so we all must be watching ourselves as we hope to be used by God to be a blessing in the lives of our spouses, our children, our friends, and our neighbors. Watch yourselves as you go on, Lord willing, to be a blessing as you minister to those around you. So this applies to us all. There obviously is a primary application here to those who are called to the office of oversight in the church. I've been reading again, and I was first given this book by someone in the congregation here in 1994. I wrote it in the date in the front. Charles Spurgeon's Lectures to My Students. I read it every once in a while. And it's always a blessing. It's increasingly a blessing. As you grow in the Christian life and in the Christian ministry, you see things that you didn't see when you read it as a student, when you thought you knew everything. And you realize, oh, he knew a little bit more than I realized. So I've been reading it again. And the very first chapter of Spurgeon's Lectures to My Students is called The Minister's Self-Watch. The Minister's Self-Watch. And he begins his lectures with that topic deliberately, because it's where Paul begins in Acts 20, 28. To best help others, we must be familiar with the things of the Christian life ourselves. Otherwise, it's an inconsistency. It doesn't fit. If we're saying, oh, I want to help other people with these things, if we're strangers to these things ourselves. So it begins with ourselves. Spurgeon says, otherwise it would be like appointing a blind man to be a professor of optics at a university, or a deaf man to be called to teach about symphonies, or it would be like a mole teaching eagles about flying. We must be familiar with these things ourselves. The call to a self-watch or self-oversight is scriptural. It's here in Acts 20, 28. It's in 1 Timothy 4:16 when Paul writes to Timothy, keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. You see that coming together of self-watch and then blessing and ministry to others. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body. I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. He said, what a sad thing that would be. You'd be ministering to others, but you'd be lost, that you'd be disqualified. It has to begin with that self watch. So here's the call. Watch ourselves. Be overseers of ourselves. An elder is a self-watching man. And for our purposes tonight, just considering watch yourselves, this call, keep watch over yourselves in three ways or from three perspectives or vantage points. First, this call to watch ourselves, to consider an elder as a self-watching man, first, especially in spiritual things. Especially in spiritual things. Sometimes we speak of secular work or worldly matters And we are called to be diligent in those things and do them excellently. But whether we eat or drink, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10, whatever we do, we are to do it for the glory of God. There isn't our secular worldly life over here and our spiritual life over here. We need to keep watch in all things, but from a spiritual perspective. All of life traces itself back to our spiritual frame of mind and heart. The things that we think and say and do trace back to our spiritual frame of heart and mind. And so a spiritual self-watch, watching ourselves, overseeing ourselves, especially with the spiritual in mind, is vital. As we heard this morning, keep watch over ourselves that we are keeping up intimacy with Christ. It doesn't happen automatically, and there's much that would weigh against it. Keep up intimacy with Christ by word, the Bible, and spirit, and prayer. Keep watch over yourselves, watching against a worldly or secular way of thinking. Keep your eyes fixed on the unseen and eternal. And again, this goes for us all. It's a particular call to elders in Christ's church. This is the way you'll be a blessing to others, as you keep watch on yourself to keep focused on things unseen and eternal. Fixed on things above where Christ is, seated at God's right hand. Keep watch. Keep watch over yourselves in the area of pride. Again, this is for us all, but especially if you are called to the position of authority in the church, pride is crouching at the door. Keep watch over yourself. 1 Timothy 3:6 says that an elder should not be a novice, a young Christian, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Keep watch over yourself in the area of pride. Spurgeon said, self-denial, self-forgetfulness, patience, perseverance, and long-suffering must be everyday virtues. Keep watch. Be watching then for and seeking for the fruit of the Spirit increasingly in your life. Seek to live and to serve more and more with a Christ-like character. We see this in the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 10:1. I, Paul, myself entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He was called to do something, but he wanted to do it in the right spiritual frame. And that's Christ-likeness, the fruit of the Spirit. We need to keep watch over ourselves. Because whatever we are involved in, whatever relationships we're involved in, whatever ministry we're involved in, we are involved in it ourselves. We are the ones that are doing it if we're doing it. And so you need to watch over yourself. Spurgeon said, I can only think with my own brain. I can only feel with my own heart. I can only weep and agonize for souls with my own renewed nature. Therefore, I must watchfully maintain the tenderness which is in Christ Jesus. Keep watch over yourselves spiritually. We need to keep watch over ourselves that we are considering others spiritually. Not forgetting as we look at others and deal with others and meet others, not forgetting that they are image of God creatures. You don't just look with a secular worldly point of view. From now on, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, we consider no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once considered Christ that way, we do so no longer. You see, it's being watchful to maintain a spiritual point of view as we consider others. Their image of God creation, their eternal souls, their gospel needs. Watch yourself that you are preserving and growing in this spiritual point of view. Watch yourself that you see situations spiritually and not just superficially and externally and not temporarily, but in the scope of eternity. Keep watch over yourself that you are seeing situations spiritually, that you are considering from the Bible God's purposes, God's providence, God's promises, and even God's enemies. Keep a spiritual point of view. Because Paul says, doesn't he, in Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. If an elder doesn't remember that, doesn't keep watch over his own spiritual perspective to remember that, he will never be able to minister helpfully, effectively in the church. And we all need to remember it as we're involved in conflicts and situations in our homes, in our families, at work, as Christians in this world. Keep watch over yourselves to maintain a spiritual point of view. But secondly, as we are to watch spiritually, secondly, also watch out then for the schemes of Satan. Keep watch over yourselves, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians, do not be unaware of the devil's schemes. Every believer is involved in spiritual warfare, and we need to keep that in mind. Ephesians 6. But an office bearer in the church is especially in Satan's sights. And so keep watch over yourselves, particularly with Satan's schemes in view. Satan has leaders in the church, especially in his sights. There is much more wicked satisfaction and much greater spiritual harm when leaders fail and fall in the church. During the war in Vietnam, American officers never wanted to be saluted in the field of battle because enemy snipers would be watching and they would be particularly targeting anyone in a leadership position. Well, the devil knew that strategy long, long ago. He knows it very well. Richard Baxter, the Puritan preacher, said, if you would be leaders against him, speaking of the devil and his works and his kingdom, if you would be leaders against him, he will spare you no further than God restrains him. He bears you the greatest malice that are engaged to give him the greatest mischief. The more that we are involved in attacking the gates of hell, as Christ builds his church, the more the devil will be against us. Watch so as not to be unaware of his scheme, 2 Corinthians 2:11. But thirdly, watch yourselves as you watch in regard to the small things of life. Spurgeon mentioned this, but the Bible mentions this. Watch out for little yeast that leavens the whole batch of dough. Little things. Much of life is simply the accumulation of small things. Boys and girls, think of a snowstorm in the winter, when sometimes, or an ice storm, and the branches break off trees. How much weight does it take for a branch, a big branch, to break off a tree? Well, you see, what happens is just one snowflake comes, and then another, and it just keeps building up. And at one point, some point, it's enough to break the branch. But it's just the weight of one more snowflake, one little thing. And so life is like that. It's the accumulation of small things, both positively and negatively. There are really very little big, big, big things in life. It's mostly the accumulation of small things, positively and negative. Small things, small duties, small actions. Kids, what would you say to me if I told you, and this is true, I was driving my van just the other day on a longer trip, and I heard a small noise. It wasn't a huge noise, like a big explosion or something. It was just a small noise. And I'm almost certain that that noise is coming from a small part of the van. I'm almost certain what it is, and mechanics would probably tell right away. I don't think the part is any bigger than my fist in my whole van. It's really just a small part. I think it's a wheel bearing, which isn't that big. It's a small noise now, and it's a small part. What would you say if I told you that and you said, well, if it's just a small noise, and if it's just a small part of the van, don't worry about it if it's so small. I hope you wouldn't tell me that. Because if I neglect that small thing, it's going to turn into a big thing. And I'm going to be in big trouble on a trip. Dead flies, small little flies, it says in Ecclesiastes 10:1, make the perfumer's ointment give off a stench. So a little folly outweighs wisdom and honor. Spurgeon said, when we say to you, my dear brothers, take care of your life, watch your life, we mean to be careful of even the minutiae of your character. Avoid little debts, unpunctuality, that means being late, gossiping, nicknaming, petty quarrels, and all of those little vices which fill the perfume with flies. The self-indulgences that have lowered the reputation of many must not be tolerated by us. The familiarities that have laid others under suspicion we must chastely avoid. The roughnesses that have rendered some obnoxious and the fopperies that have made others contemptible, we must put away. We cannot afford to run great risks through little things. So watch yourselves and watch for leaders potentially in the church who are first self-watchers, who are showing evidence of this in their life before they are called to watch over others or oversee others. As one writer said, it will be in vain for me to stock my library, organize societies, or project schemes if I neglect the culture of myself. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. But when we do that, that's very daunting. And the more we're engaged in it, the more daunting it becomes. We look at ourselves and we see so much limitation, so much weakness, and so much sin. With Paul in 2 Corinthians 2:16, we ask, who is sufficient for these things? If we don't ask that, we haven't looked at ourselves carefully or long enough. But the best self-watcher is first and foremost a Christ-watcher. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. For every one look you take at yourself, take 10 looks to Jesus. We need to watch and pray that we would live very near to Christ. Again, Spurgeon just puts it so beautifully. To face the enemies of truth, to defend the bulwarks of the faith, to rule well in the house of God, to comfort all that mourn, to edify the saints, to guide the perplexed, to bear with the froward, to win and nurse souls, all these and 1,000 other works beside are not for a feeble mind or a ready to halt, but are reserved for a great heart whom the Lord has made strong for himself. Seek then strength from the strong one and wisdom from the wise one. In fact, seek all from the God of all. And so the Spirit of God says to us all, but especially to elders in Christ Church, what Paul said to the elders in Acts 20 long ago, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.